Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and specifically, we're going to be talking about bailing and bailing out. In today's society, the amount of divorces is phenomenal. Now, there's always been divorce. There's always been places for divorce. It was not that way from the beginning, according to Christ. God created man, one woman. And that's a natural relationship. And that natural relationship is come down to us through the law of nature. It is a natural use of man and woman, and the unique features of those two separate sects. And it is from that relationship, society is born. Society is born out of that relationship. That's where it's created, because the new generation comes along and replaces the old generation. So you have that unique relationship. And the way in which we address that relationship is going to determine a great deal about the very society that we live in. Today, probably one of the greatest influences on society is the government. And governments are an institution of man. They're not an institution of God. God didn't create government. But he did create man and woman, and husband and wife, and father and mother. Those are natural institutions that are created by the natural function of our biology. And all governments are really based on the law of the father, the patronus, the conscripted patri, where the state becomes the father of the people. And Jesus said, call no man father. Now, we've talked about that dozens and dozens of times. So we have all kinds of articles about that. It's one of the foundations of Christ's gospel, and it's almost completely underscored or avoided, understated by modern churches. They don't have any idea. I mean, of course, the Catholic Church avoids that particular quote by the plague, because they call their priest father. But it really has nothing to do with calling their priest father. I mean, remotely it might, but it has to do with our relationship with government. And at the time that Jesus said it, everybody knew what he meant. Today, when we read that, almost nobody knows what he meant. And it's because the information about the Roman society that would explain, you know, they called all the senators of Rome patri, father, and they were called the conscripted patres, the conscripted fathers. If you addressed a senator like Cicero, you addressed him senator, patri Cicero. Senator actually is from a word that means old man. And at the beginning, it was just old men within the community who were wise, and they had good counsel, and they came together and they shared information and brought that information back to the Roman communities. And the Roman communities decided what they wanted to do, because originally it was a republic. It morphed into an indirect democracy and then eventually into an imperial despotic power. And, of course, that's what happens when you move from a republic to a democracy, where your government takes on the role of patronus or father. And even if you were to look up in the U.S. codes, you would find parens patria, obey the father, right in the codes themselves, in the Latin. because that principle is still viable today, that the Father is the state. And recently I posted a few things on Facebook about the fact that the Senate had a vote on a defense bill, and in the defense bill wasn't an item where women, young women, 18 years of age, girls, will have to register for the draft. And everybody says, oh, well, it doesn't make any difference. We haven't even used the draft since 1973. Well, that's like saying, yeah, there's earthquakes in California, but there hasn't been any in a long time, so there probably won't be. And the reality is there are earthquakes that occur not only in California, but Oregon and Washington that have, that if they occurred today, millions of people would die. And those earthquakes occurred about 325 years ago. And when you follow the geological history of earthquakes, you in that area, like the area of Oregon, and actually you can take the earthquake history all the way over to Japan and China, you will find that these major disastrous subduction earthquakes that would kill millions of people and devastate the economies of the whole United States actually occur about every 250 years consistently for the last several thousand years. And so what that would mean is that we're overdue for a subduction type earthquake. This is not the earthquakes you see that, you know, devastated San Francisco and way back in 1906 and Northridge and Los Angeles and at different times in history. We're talking subduction earthquakes that would devastate the entire economy for the United States. And we're 75 years overdue for one of those. But we haven't had one in a long time, so you're probably safe. Well, actually, what that means is you haven't had one in a long time, so you're probably more in danger because it's overdue. It's likely to happen anytime. It'll probably happen in the South and move its way up. And you will see a lot of tremor earthquakes before it occurs. And it may occur very suddenly after a long lull period. And a lull in earthquakes might occur if there was a slowdown in the activity on the sun, which normally would trigger earthquakes. And then, so all these things are related. I mean, the sun, you can't get much farther away in this solar system than the sun. And you're saying that what happens on the sun affects earthquakes here on the earth? Absolutely. Well, now take this back to that relationship. You think I'm on a tangent, but I'm not. Take that back to that relationship, that natural relationship of husband and wife. If you change some things in that relationship, just minor things in that relationship, it can have a ripple effect that will change all the way through not only that that couple, that husband and wife couple, but all the way through society. And that ripple effect can change, you know, it's way more devastating than the butterfly effect. It can change the whole nature of society. You know, when I go back in my family history, I can go back 400 years and you couldn't find a divorce anywhere in my family history for hundreds of years in several different generational lines. You go back that far and you got, you know, maybe 1,000 grandparents with the same relationship. So you're going back in numerous different family groups. But today, there are divorces everywhere. And why is that? Because people bail out of relationships. They don't, and one of the major reasons why they don't need to struggle to maintain that relationship is because of government, because of their relationship with government. Go back to that defense bill. The Senate voted to draft, to compel registration for 18-year-old girls and up throughout the United States for the draft. Well, maybe, you know, some girls don't want to go in the Army. But they could be drafted. But, of course, they'll say, oh, well, you can work at civilian work projects. You don't have to go in the military and carry a gun and shoot and all that kind of stuff. We'll just put you in civilian work projects. And this is something they've been trying to get us used to thinking for a long time. And I have a video up that talks about this because, I was overwhelmed by the fact that people were listening to a guy, an actor named Basso, who was pretending to be Thomas Paine and was talking about universal service. And we have an article up on universal service, and he was talking about return to universal service. Well, there never was universal service in the United States. So where is he returning to universal service? Now, I can tell you there was universal service in Egypt when we were in the bondage of Egypt. So he's literally saying, if you listen to what he's saying, we're going to return to the bondage of Egypt, to the bondage of Saul, you know, where he could take your sons and daughters and turn them to his purposes. That was the bondage under Saul, which was a rejection of God. And Basso, this pretend Thomas Paine, was trying to get everybody to return to universal service, to return to that bondage, to that bondage of Egypt, which the Bible says never to return there again. But that's exactly where he wants to go. Now, the reality is you're already there. But he's just pushing that envelope a little bit farther. I mean, everybody who works in the private sector and gets a job with an employee identification number, a federal employee identification number, which is usually your Social Security number for Americans, it's almost that way for everybody. I mean, even if you're in the military now, you don't get an RA number, you know, military number, you use your Social Security number. There was a fellow named Carmichael who would not use his Social Security number while he was already in the Army, and they insisted that he do it, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it because I consider it the mark of the beast, and they booted him out of the military. He was in the, it wasn't the National Guard, I can't even remember, but anyway, but he was in the military, and I guess it was the Navy. He took the case all the way up to the Supreme Court, and he won his case that they didn't have the right to do that, that he was wrongfully fired, and they gave him all his back pay. But the reality is that, he's been fighting this on a number of different levels, but he hasn't been really seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness. He's just trying to react against what he sees as the mark of the beast. Or at least some people will say the prelude to the mark of the beast. But the reality is it is the mark of the beast. It is your benefactor number. With that number, you can go to the benefactors who exercise authority and get lots of benefits, including pay. And the reality is that if you get a job with that number, part of the day you're going to work without pay. To work without pay is the definition of slavery. At least the definition of servitude. Now, it's voluntary because you went down and got the number and you got the job with the number and all this stuff. And people who didn't have the number and got a job and were fired have actually been sued by the government for wrongfully being fired. Because you can't fire a man because he won't get a Social Security number. You really can't refuse to hire somebody because they don't have a Social Security number. And if they don't have a Social Security number, you cannot take out any withholding. Many countries know this. Most of the people in America don't know this. And so the Social Security number is the mark of the beast. You have it. If you're using the number, you have the mark of the beast. You're not condemned, and we explain all this in details in our detailed study of the Mark of the Beast, which you can see on numerous websites, that you will be tested. And that test is, are you seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or do you really want to bow down and worship this beast nature that takes away from its neighbor that takes a bite out of its neighbor, to covet, that covets its neighbor's goods so that it can have benefits. Now, what spirit is in you? What desire is in your heart? Do you want the benefits of men who call themselves benefactors but are actually exercising authority? I mean, in other words, they're not giving you anything out of their pocket. They're giving you something out of somebody else's pocket. You know, my son was talking to someone who thinks that this socialized medicine is a good thing, because they're going to take it from the 1% rich. That's what they're told. They were all told that they're going to take it from the rich. Over and over again, anybody who studies this with any kind of even superficial study know that the rich don't pay this for all this stuff. It's the middle class that pays. I mean, even George Carlin, the comedian, told you, the rich don't pay anything. You know, the story in England where they were going to finally raise the taxes on all the rich because they were getting away without paying. And so they had this huge bill that a lot of people complained about that was going to tax the rich, raise their taxes. The year after the bill was passed, they examined to see how much more the rich paid. They paid less taxes. Even with this huge increase, they just paid less taxes because they have lawyers. They have accountants that figure out, well, how do we get around this? There's always ways around it. It's written into the bills to begin with. Why? Because rich people want it in there. But it looks like you're taxing them heavier. It's the middle class who don't have the lawyers and accountants that are going to pay the bill. And so therefore what happens is your middle class isn't really in the middle anymore. It's down on the lower end. It's getting farther and farther down, so that it has less and less to work with, and is pinched between inflation and less payment, less value being given to them for their labor. Kind of like you could go down and buy a can of fruit, a 16-ounce can of fruit for, $1.50. Now you can still go down and buy that can for $1.50. Except it's not 16 ounces anymore. It's like 14 ounces or 11 ounces. But actually, now we've gone so far, it actually costs more. I mean, bread was 10 cents a loaf when I was a kid. Now, what is it? It's quite a bit more. But it's not the bread going up, it's the dollar going down. So anyway, back to this relationship, this natural relationship of man and woman. That used to be the core of society. Your social welfare was in that family unit. Your brothers and uncles and all the family was there for you if you fell on hard times, if you died and somebody needed to take care of your children. The family was there. And then men instituted this thing called altars or congregations, where people gathered together to help one another. But in order for it to remain a free society, they helped one another with free will offerings, which is what you see Abraham doing. That's what was put on his altars. That was what was put on his living altars. And that was what was put on the living altars of Moses. They weren't burning up sheep. This was contributions to help out the needy of society, in a system of sacrifice called Corban. But it was always free will offerings. Free will offerings. Free will offerings. Over and over again it says that. We don't see the word charity. We see free will offerings. Sometimes they don't say free will, but they use the same Hebrew word that means free will offering. And you got to choose who you would give, what altar you would set these on, what stones you would recognize as your minister, in tens, hundreds, and thousands, and you took care of one another. And that way the family remained sovereign, because the only thing that the priest society had authority over was what you freely chose to give them. And you could choose who you wanted to give it to, and that was your votive election. And if you didn't like what he was doing, you could change that. And nobody kicked in your door if you didn't give enough or you didn't give as often as you should. But if society became less charitable, it became more vulnerable. And the members of society became more vulnerable. That was a free society, and that is the only way a free society has ever worked. As soon as you give power to someone to take from your neighbor so that you can have a benefit, you're no longer in a free society. Your neighbor is not free from you, and you will not be free from your neighbor. That's simple. But it requires that you consistently give, regularly give, work at giving, work at figuring out who is really the best minister to give to. You don't give to one single minister, you give to somebody you know locally. And you give with other people, in congregation, in free assemblies, the right to freely assemble. You still have that right. But you're not doing it for practical reason. You're doing it so you can shake your fist at government, or you're doing it so that you can get your ears tickled on the weekends, on Sabbaths and Sundays. You're not doing it to love your neighbor. That's not why you're gathering together. You're not doing it to save others. You're doing it for selfish motives. So why do you do it that way? Because you got government. You've got a government that exercises authority. So you can leave your kids and your wife and go on welfare. They can get food stamps. You won't feel that guilty. Oh, they're being taken care of. You can not take care of your parents. Yeah, because they got Social Security. They actually, you know, go on golf courses and they have a great time. You know, and when they actually need a lot of care, they just go to, you know, some convalescent home, and the state pays the difference. And they got Medicare and Medicaid. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to do no more ought for your parents. When your society makes those choices and you go along with those choices, you change society. Because you change your relationship with one another. You have bailed out of your responsibilities. You've bailed out of the responsibilities of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. You don't have to do that. You gave at the office. You gave to the government. They're taking care of your parents. You don't have to do it. You don't have to sacrifice to do it. You're sacrificing to the gods of the world who will decide what your parents get. You know, when we have hard times in this country, euthanasia will go through the country like wildfire. Every elderly person will become a useless eater. The government doesn't care. It's not their father or mother. Anybody who doesn't sign on to this take a bite out of your neighbor plan will be cast out. You're not ready to be cast out. You're not prepared for freedom. You're not prepared because you haven't been practicing loving your neighbor as yourself. We'll talk more about this, and we'll get into the mechanics of it when we return to Keys to the Kingdom. Welcome back. Everything's a test. Being born is the beginning of a test. And you grow up. Your parents raise you, maybe. Somebody raises you. You'd die otherwise. I doubt you were raised by a she-wolf in the wilderness, like Romulus and Remus, supposedly. The reality is they were not raised by wolves at all. But those are all symbolic stories telling you what? Who's the wolf? The wolf goes out and tears flesh off of other creatures and turns that raw meat into milk. And that is Rome. The wolf. that tears the flesh from other creatures and turns it into milk for the people. Unfortunately, eventually, pickings are slow, and so the wolf tears it from the people as well. But that's Rome. Now, Rome was originally a republic before it had all this other nonsense about the she-wolf and Romulus and Remus and all that stuff. And it had thrown out the Tarquinian kings in a revolutionary war. They threw out the king, and they established a free republic where the people were free from things public, libera res publica. And they became one of the most prosperous nations in the world. The Romans were loved almost everywhere. Yeah, they had a few battles, but really there wasn't all this policing of the world. They would go to a place and they would build a harbor, or they'd build a small town, maybe a mining town or what have you. They brought industry. They brought better ways of doing things. They were full of their army was full of engineers, building and making things. And keeping order, had a system of laws and justice that was actually pretty good at times. But you got to remember that Rome was, this was 500 years before Christ that it became this republic. And its Senate were just old men with great advice. But as time went on, the people looked more and more to the government, to the old men, to become the fathers of the people and to provide for them. And there were a lot of other factors, but we won't go into all that. But the core to Roman success as a republic was the family. Divorce was almost unheard of in Rome because it wasn't natural. It was natural to remain husband and wife, to raise your children for the next generation. But as time went on and affluence went on and the state became more of a father to the people, then divorce became more rampant. As a matter of fact, Augustus, who was the first Caesar, first commander-in-chief and president of the nation, Principas Civitas, first citizen, and the first god of the nation, Apotheos, appointer of gods, appointer of judges. All of this we explain in great detail. If you don't know what we're saying, you need to do some more homework. He was divorced. And that was a shocker to the Romans because there wasn't a lot of people who were divorced at that time. Now, within the next few hundred years, certainly within the next 100 years, divorce became rampant. And by the fall of Rome, marriage, the union of man and woman as a natural relationship, had almost completely ceased, and even legal marriages under the state were rare. And people that were not divorced was rare. It was becoming more and more rare. But amongst those people who did not get divorces, who did not bail out of relationships, who stuck to relationships, who stuck it out, learned to forgive, you found many Christians. Because Christianity was a voluntary society, a free society in which you gave to a minister through a network of charity, according to the perfect law of liberty, to take care of one another in time of need, to provide for the widows and orphans in time of need, with no benefactors who exercised authority. And this is where the Christian conflict came in. Christians were in trouble because the system of Rome had become this mandatory system of korban, where you had to sacrifice to the temples, and the temples provided you with free bread, sometimes free cheese, sometimes free wine, sometimes they just gave you money. And with your welfare token, your EBT token, you could also get into free coliseums and see the games. So it was the circuses and free bread that had become pervasive throughout Rome. They had their complex system of social welfare run through the temples. But the temples were just government buildings, such as where you registered your birth certificate was the Temple of Saturn. And why did you register your birth there at the Temple of Saturn? So that they would know when and what benefits you were eligible for. And who was your benefactor? The government. Who was your father? The government. And it could take your sons. And eventually it could take your daughters. And they offered you all kinds of benefits, and including under some of the emperors, it offered universal health care. But the nation was bankrupt. And they began to take the silver and gold out of the coins and made them out of base metals. And even out of clay. You know, fired clay. And you had your tesseras, which you used as money. But it was worthless. And so there was inflation. And the cost of bread went up. And what you could buy for a thin dime at one time, silver dime, now took you many tesseras, and to the point where it took 120,000 denarii to buy one sack of wheat. And why did this take place? Because we made little changes. And because people bailed out of their responsibilities. And that's why the reason the world today is in the bondage that it is in. The reason you see a lot of people are trying to stop, they see the government moving more and more towards a socialist state, and they want to stop it. And they want to elect a strong leader to stop this craziness. But they don't realize how crazy they are. Because they just want to stop the momentum of socialism. They don't want to stop socialism. I mean, they still want to send their kids to free schools. Maybe they have special needs or I have to send my kids to school because I don't have the time because I have to go and work. But the reality is school is socialism. Public schools is socialism. It's welfare. For years in this country, most kids did not go to public school. And most public schools were heavily supported by contributions. Today, you completely lost control because you don't fund it. Except to men who exercise authority, force the contributions of the people, threaten to take your home away if you don't support the public school. When you used to educate your children yourselves. And if you couldn't afford education, there was somebody who was willing to charitably pay for your child's education. Like I say, Harvard. Nobody was turned away from Harvard who could keep up their grades. It was in their bylaws. You didn't need a student loan. They would pay your tuition if you could not afford it. And you could keep up your grades. But you've made changes in your society because of your sloth, because of your avarice, because of your wantonness, because you don't really love your neighbor as yourself. Because you don't really follow Christ, because you're not really a Christian, you've changed the nature of your society. Little bit by little bit. And those ripples have become big things. And now you want a strong leader like Saul. It's going to solve your problems. But it's only usher in tyranny, and it is totally a rejection of God. Everybody who wants to elect a strong leader to fix this is rejecting God. That's what the Bible says. You're rejecting God. You're not saved. You're rejecting God. As a matter of fact, you're a worker of iniquity. So what is your solution? Repent. Think differently. That's what repentance means. To change the way you think. And realize that if you take a bite out of one another to get your benefits, whether it's health care or public education or somebody to take care of your parents with Social Security. Social Security is bankrupt. There is no money in Social Security. Write that down. If the government doesn't have, if it's operating in the red, Social Security is operating in red, there can be no division of funds. That's the law. That's been the law from the beginning. I don't care what you want to think. You need to understand the truth. The only way you can get a payment from Social Security is to borrow against the future, not only of your children, but of other children. And you're perfectly okay with that because you don't really care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. And if that is the case, then you are not a Christian. Now, I understand I don't want to see you starve to death. But what do you want? What are you striving for? What are you seeking? Are you seeking a free society or a comfortable society? Somebody said that, they like HHC because they talk about charity and everything, but right now I'm interested in becoming free. So I'm reading about this and this and this and this because I want to rebut the presumption so that I can become free. I got to worry about that first. You're doomed. You're absolutely doomed, you selfish pig. You want to save yourself first. You're on the Titanic, and you want to get in a lifeboat and save yourself first. And then you'll think about other people. That is not Christ. You have need of repentance. You have need to think another way. You know, I tell you in the book, Covenants of God, there is no answer in this book. It's a little bit of a lie. But really, I don't intend any answer in the book. I intend you to take a look at the problem, and the problem is you. But way laced down in the middle of the book, it says, is there any escape from this worldwide trust in which you are a surety for debt? Can you ever return to a lawful title where you actually own yourself, own your land, return every man to his family and every man to his possession, where you own your children again, where your children cannot be conscripted and taken away from you because of this, by the state, because the state is the true father of your family? Because, I mean, after all, they educated them. They gave you money so you could raise your children. You know that tax deduction you want for your child? You owe the tax. You owe so many thousands of dollars in tax. But they say, we'll give you a deduction on that if you have a kid. So you register your kid and you get some money back. From what you owe, they give you some money back. You know what that does? That makes your child their child. Because they're financing its rearing. They're paying the bill. They're taking what you owe them, and you owe them because you wanted the benefits they offered you, and they're raising your child. They're letting you do it, but they're financing it. And then they give you free education, they give you, you know, WIC programs and food stamps and health care. Whose child is it? It belongs to the state. And now the state says, let's make the children register for the draft. If you don't, they'll spank you, you naughty child. And they know you're their child because they've raised you. They paid and financed your raising. How are they able to do this? Because they are a wolf, a beast that goes around devouring what it will. And you say, please bite my neighbor. You know, it doesn't say thou shalt not covet unless your neighbor's really rich, and then you can covet his goods. It says thou shalt not covet, period. And of course, like I said, they're not going to take from the rich anyway. They're going to take from the middle class. And you want a strong leader to fix this. Like Saul. I won't mention the current strong leaders that are going to fix it. They all claim they're going to fix it. They're going to liberate you from your responsibilities to fix it. They're promising you liberty from your responsibilities. And they're going to put you in bondage. I go on to say in this one little line, can a mere legal title and an equitable title, because I already explained the difference between, you know, legal and equitable titles and how there's a division of a lawful title and all this stuff, and that's created a trust. And I explained that in great detail. And you can download the book for free. You don't have to buy anything from me. I'm giving you the truth. But I can tell you this is the truth, too. If you want to free yourself first, if you want in the lifeboat first, you're doomed. You're not coming in the name of Christ. Anyway, can that title, that division title, that divided title be put together and recombined into a good and complete title? Can it be done? And then I go on for a couple pages and explain how it could be done. Now, of course, you have to read the footnotes, and then you have to understand the law. And the law is spiritual. And you will not understand, you will not see it, you will not put it together unless you come in the name of Christ. And you're not coming in the name of Christ if you want to save yourself first. First, I got to save myself. You don't get it. And you're not going to get it. And you're not going to be free. As a matter of fact, you're failing the test. Now, the test isn't over yet, so maybe you'll turn around and repent. But you have need of repentance. You have been converted to an asset, to a surety for the fathers of the earth. Because you have prayed to the fathers of the earth for benefits. And you have been bound in this system because it operates by debt. That's right. And you can't get out unless you repent and change the way you think. And start thinking about your neighbor as much as you think about yourself. Start loving your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Now, that's a process. To learn that, that's a process. And that's what we offer you. The right to freely assemble and start caring about others as much as you care about yourself. And if you want to put that off while you go and get free, you're a fool. Because you will not be free. You got to turn around and think a different way. Now, the technicalities, like I say, they're in the book. They're in other books. They're on our web pages. Explain it all. But there's no reason for me to sit here and explain it step by step how a free government works if you don't want to do the work of a free government. I'm not here to set you free from your responsibilities. I'm here to show you what your responsibilities are. You've got to figure that out and apply yourself. You have to strive to enter at the straight gate. You don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. That's why you don't gather together in congregations and choose ministers that will connect your congregation in a charitable way with all other congregations through a network of tens, hundreds, and thousands. And you're not doing that because you have not yet repented. You're still saving yourself, saving your family, saving your buddies in hopes that they'll save you. What's coming is bigger than that. It's bigger than your congregation. And unless you come together, Israel was not down on the shores of the Red Sea as individuals, but as a community. The pillar of fire came between the whole community and the armies of Pharaoh. There was not a million little whirlwinds of fire standing between them and each, but one. This is the way God works. If you will not come together in the name of Christ, you will be devoured one by one. And you are devoured in debt and servitude. And it's because you accepted ideas you must now reject. Because you rejected and neglected ideas you must now embrace. And that embracing is that you have to start caring about others. Not just those who love you and can scratch your back. But those who are far away from you. Who cannot scratch their back. Or scratch your back. you have to care about others as much as you care about yourself. So, but instead, you have set a precedent, bailed out of relationships with your family. You didn't stay and help your family. Didn't stay and take care of your parents. You were interested in becoming free. You wanted to get out of the system, or you just maybe you wanted to have a good job, make lots of money, and get a real nice apartment and a cute girlfriend or a cute boyfriend and a nice car and all this stuff. And you neglected your parents. So your days, we know your days are not going to be long on the land. We know you're doomed. Because you neglected your rejected your responsibilities. So I put out a little page, and I'll show you, people do this all the time, ministers. They don't really care about those people they say they want to minister to, because suddenly they bail out and they do nothing about the people that they were to take care of, for very little. That shows you the spirit that's operating in them. Will they stay up and make sure that things are being taken care of? Will they put in the time, the energy? Christ was staying up in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, sweating blood, but the apostles were all falling asleep. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But when the spirit is really willing, it will give power to the flesh, and you will be able to stay up and pray. We were to be made fishers of men, and as fishers of men, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same kingdom. Every congregation is a part of every other congregation if it connects itself to a network of free will offerings, charity. And people give regularly. When the heart beats, it does not know what the toe needs, what the fingers need. It beats. It gives blood every day, every moment. It beats. It doesn't wait to beat blood through the circulatory system of the body when the body has a need. It gives the blood so that the body does not develop a need, so that the flow is always there. Now, who is your father? Is it the state? Who's educating your children? Who educated you? Who takes care of your parents? Who's going to take care of you? Who's providing your daily bread? Is it the church established by Christ, or is it the church established by Constantine, by Nimrod, by Cain's, by Saul's of the world, who forced the offerings of the people? As fishermen, we're all in the same boat. If you look like the boat is going to go down, it's going to sink, you have a choice of bailing or bailing out. You can work together to keep everybody afloat, or you can abandon them. What is the pattern of your life? We're going to talk about what you must do to become a free nation when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.